Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Week 14 starts it. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P, Joe Pizzapia, and today it starts it week 14. That's right. Bimageddon part two is here. It's upon us. The revenge. And we are going to make sure that we have the right guys in our lineups. We're going to help you guys get the right players in your lineups as well. Special shout out to at the top of the show. I want to thank Ryan for hosting on short notice for me the other day. Some people noticed I was not around. My dad's been dealing with some health issues for the last 6 months or so. They were very, very serious. And fortunately, Tuesday was just a day where it just was not going to cooperate with work. So shout out to Ryan. A special thanks to everybody who dropped me little Twitter messages and things of that nature. So I'm happy to be back here on the show. And I appreciate all of you. So thanks for those people on Discord. My colleagues are amazing. My bosses are amazing. Just want to thank everybody at the top for picking up the slack on the day where I needed them to. And on a day where I needed a pick-me-up. As you can see here, this is a podcast you must watch on the YouTube channel, because I alluded to a few weeks ago, the perfect Christmas gift did not exist until I saw Brian Robinson wearing the big giant hat. And during that show, you might recall that I thought, well, you know, the big giant hat was something that, you know, let me see how much it costs. And I told Derek, you're in trouble because it doesn't cost as much as I thought it might. And as you can see on the YouTube channel, fantasypros.com's YouTube channel, it's right there, youtube.com/fantasypros. Subscribe today. The big giant hat came yesterday. And if there was a day I needed a pick-me-up and some good feelings, you could see right now the big giant hat. So show everybody the big giant hat in the front too, because I think it's got a football on it. Look at that. See, we got him the football on it.
Because Derek likes football. I put the sticker on for true authenticity, Joe.
And the sticker's on for authenticity. The big giant hat came. Which leads me to the next.
It just doesn't work forward, though, man. Like,
no, it's too much forward for you. But backward, it works. It's spectacular. The big giant hat came, and it's giving me a very happy all the feels, as people like to say. Andrew Erickson, the question is, what do I get you for Christmas now?
Well, you got Derek the big hat energy, so you're gonna have to find some way to weave in big pod energy into my Christmas gift. So. Figure it
all
out.
All right. I'll figure it out. I'll figure
big
it out.
Patriots. Shout
out
to Blaine. Is that what I heard?
A giant microphone, giant headphones, something giant.
Remember, I do have your address from the Black Book. So it's not like I don't have your address. You know, you work for me already. So
that's
not like...
where you got it from. I was wondering. I was like,
I was like, wait a minute. I have
from?
Your address. All right. So enough nonsense. We're going to get to the football. Before we even get to the start sits and the running backs and stuff, we have a piece of news we got to talk about. The Atlanta Falcons have a new quarterback. Desmond Ridder's going to get a look. Yay. Hooray. What does this mean, Derek Brown, for Drake London, for Cordarrelle Patterson, for the Falcons offense? It's about time we get a look at him. But what are expectations going into this week? Will the Falcons throw the ball more?
I think it's honestly at this point, it's a push, Joe. Okay. I think our hope is that they let him throw more. But I mean, honestly, let's be realistic here, people. Like, he's a rookie. He's going to be making his first starts in the NFL. a team that's been run heavy with a questionable veteran quarterback under center, do we think that they're going to up the passing rate just because it's Desmond Ridder? I mean, maybe if he shows something in the first two, three games, then we see that happen. But really, my thing is, and where I kind of go with Drake London is, can we just see Desmond Ridder, even if it's low volume, just feed Drake London? Can that happen?
Yeah.
Because Marcus Mariota has not been on that train. He has not been about that life. That's all I want. I don't even care if the volume goes up for the offense overall. I just want them to feed Drake London and let the dude ball out. Can that happen?
Look, I watch a lot of Desmond Ridder at Cincinnati. Bogman used to tease me about it because I kept saying, I think Desmond Ridder is pretty good. That was 2 years ago. And then last year, he got that Cincinnati team into real relevance. And he was like, I got to give you credit, man. You were on Desmond Ridder. You thought he was good before a lot of people did. I think there's a lot of qualities he possesses that you want in an NFL quarterback. I think there's a lot of things you still have to work on with Desmond Ridder as well. So, Erickson, when we're taking a look here at your expectations, I know it's a tough thing. I know the bye week is upon us, but we're going to eventually see a different version here in week 15. We come out of the bye. Do you think that version is something we can invest in because we're in the playoffs, or is this something you just kind of let Drake London go in week 15 and see what it is?
I do think that they're going to throw the ball a little bit more. I mean, what's the point of starting Desmond Ridder just for him to hand the ball off? Like, you don't learn anything about your quarterback unless you actually have him drop back to throw. So if this is unless they really think that, okay, Desmond Ridder gives us the best chance to make the playoffs, I don't really view it like that. I think they kind of know that they're not really a playoff team. They have a horrible defense, and their offense has been, you know, it is what it is. It's a run-heavy offense. But if you're going to put Ridder in, it's like, all right, I don't want to see him throw 10 times. If he throws 30 pass attempts for the next 3 weeks, like, that doesn't help. Like, you don't learn anything about your quarterback. So I think they will have an uptick in passing attempts with Desmond Ridder because they need to evaluate him. And I think just more passing volume in general is going to be good for Drake London and some of the running backs here. So I think it's a stock up all around.
All right, let's get to the running backs this week in week 14. Let's talk to the big giant hat, see what's under there in that brain of Derek Brown's.
Start or sit?
What did your wife say when you opened the box just out of curiosity for the big giant hat?
So she hasn't seen this gloriousness.
Oh, what? How did you hide it? It's enormous.
Well, I look.
Just took this box and around. Excuse me, honey. I got to walk into the other room.
I hit it in the office. I had to let the first eyes that gleamed on this beautiful thing be yours, Joe.
Oh, well.
You should hide your children underneath it. Yeah, where are the kids?
My four-year-old would never be found again.
Someday when you have kids, as soon as the kids see this hat, it's not Derek's anymore. I'm telling you right now. This hat becomes someone else's. All right,
oh, yeah.
Let's get to the RBs. Who do we want to start in week 14? D-Bro, let's kick things off.
Yeah, before I hop into all these running backs that we're going to want to start here, I got to give a shout-out to one of our subs who's been awesome because Fantasy Pros would be nothing without all the subs and all the support from everybody out there. So, big shout out to Team All the Smoke in the Real Brooklyn Bowl League. That's my dude. He's sitting at 9-4. So let's help you take on the championship, my guy. First RB I want to talk about here, Raheem Mostert. I mean, look, they're facing the Chargers. We know how this goes. And I understand, like, I've got him at RB24. ECR has him as an RB3. The ceiling is high, even if the volume is going to be somewhat capped for Raheem Mostert. Last week, we saw him outpace Jeff Wilson. I don't think that he's going to be the lead back in this offense because for everybody diving into that, they only ran the ball 8 times. They knew what they needed to do versus San Francisco. But in this matchup, we've seen Miami dial up specific game plans depending on who they're playing. They could easily run the ball a ton in this game. And with Mostert, he's been efficient. 24th in yards per touch, 19th in breakaway run rate. Chargers run defense is terrible. I think you could fire him up comfortably as a low-end RB2.
All right. The bane of my existence, Raheem Mostert, killing my Jeff Wilson shares. Very upset about that. Let's go to another guy, too. I know this guy, last week we were concerned with. This week, he's back on the table, isn't he?
He sure is, Joe. Miles Sanders. I've got him at RB9. I'm ahead of ECR, who has him at RB12. And this all comes down to the matchup, baby. Again, another sharp coaching staff. Nick Sirianni is one of the best coaches in the NFL. What they do with the Eagles is they design game plans based off of what the weaknesses are. I know it sounds crazy. Wow, a coach does that. Rational coaching. Holy crap. But with Miles Sanders, we've seen, like with the Packers, his volume go up in these rushing matchups. Sanders has been good this year. He's 10th in red zone touches, 7th in total touchdowns. I know it was once upon a time that he told everybody not to draft him in fantasy, but here we are. Miles Sanders has been awesome, and the Giants have been terrible at stopping the run. Since week 10, 26th in rushing yards per game. They are 31st in explosive run rate allowed.
All right, that's two guys. We got Mostert and Sanders in. Give me one more guy you feel good about starting in week 14.
All right. I know everybody's kind of queasy. They don't know what to think about it. Is the breakout real? Is this a fluke? Do we get caught in the trap? I'm diving into James Cook. I've got him at RB25, and I might bump him even higher. We've seen the Buffalo Bills lean on their ground game a little bit more with Josh Allen banged up. And here's the thing. James Cook came out last week. He led the team in rushing attempts. He led the team in targets, routes run, red zone opportunities. I mean, basically every single thing you look at, James Cook led the team. He has been awesome. Anytime that he has gotten opportunities this year, he's 13th in yards after contact per attempt, third in breakaway run rate, and 11th in PFF's elusive rating. And the Jets, look, they are not a pushover cakewalk defense, but since week 10, 17th in rushing yards per game, 21st in explosive run rate allowed. I don't think that Buffalo goes into this and says, look, let's just throw a ton versus the strength of the Jets defense. I think we see a lot of James Cook here.
Okay, so Cook is also in, Sanders in, Mostert in. Let's talk about Cook, because it seems like we're starting to get a little bit more opportunity here for Dalvin Cook. James Cook. And Erickson, when we're looking at the Bills here in this contest against the Jets specifically, do you think we're going to see more James Cook here than Devin Singletary potentially?
I think so. I mean, look, we've had 10 days between when the Bills last played. And if you go back and look at that tape, there's no way the coach is going to come away with it as, you know what? We should get Devin Singletary the ball more. Like, let's do that. Like, no, like that's the exact opposite takeaway they would have if you rewatched that game against the Patriots. James Cook looked explosive. James Cook was great as a pass catcher. And Devin Singletary, meanwhile, is dropping passes out of the backfield. James Cook is second in yards per route run this season. Number two overall. Devin Singletary is in the bottom seven. So James Cook has the receiving role, which is already giving him a boost in PPR and half PPR formats. It's just about the goal line usage. Will James Cook get the goal line touch? Like, that's really the only thing I see not necessarily working in James Cook's favor in this particular matchup, but you know, that's why he's in the back end RB2 conversation, not necessarily a top 10, top 15 guy.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Manscaped. This holiday season, you know why mommy's kissing Santa Claus? Because he is all Manscaped. That's why his beard is trimmed, his jingle balls are all taken care of, he smells good, he looks good, and that's why mommy wants him. So if you want some action this holiday season, Manscaped is the perfect gift for yourself or for that special loved one of yours. And if you use the promo code right now, JOEYP, you get 20% off and free shipping at Manscaped. Now look, Douglas fir is a kind of Christmas tree, not your nickname around the house. So Douglas, it's time to get Manscaped, and it's time for the Platinum Package. That's Platinum Package 4.0. It's got the body wash, the ultra premium 2-in-1 shampoo and conditioner, the ultra premium deodorant, and you'll smell fresh from the top of your elf hat to the bottom of your candy cane. And right now, if you go to Manscaped, you'll also get that Lawnmower 4.0, the greatest grooming tool in the history of grooming tools, the Weed Whacker, the nose ear trimmer that features proprietary advanced skin-safe technology so you don't hurt yourself this holiday season, because nobody wants that, now do we? We want our jingle balls to be nice and smooth, no nicks, no cuts, no problems. So go to manscaped.com, get 20% off and free shipping. Again, that's manscaped.com, 20% off and free shipping with the promo code JOEYP. Shave your balls for your girlfriend, Holly. Fa la 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 la, la 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 la. And now, back to the action. Let's go to the guys that you don't feel great about, D-Bro, this week, that the hat is frowning upon. And this player last night in stages, Bogdan and I took a lot of questions on this player. And I keep struggling with it. And I know he's still high in the ECR. He's ECRB10 ECR guy. Oof. And I don't feel good about it. So let's talk about Travis Etienne.
I don't feel good about it either. And again, these two running backs I'm going to bring up, and we preface this every single week, you're not sitting Travis Etienne. I'm not telling you to sit Travis Etienne. But you do need to temper your expectations. So if you're looking at your lineups and you're saying, okay, I need some ceiling, I need some upside this week to beat my opponent, what have you, maybe you, this is how you diagnose who you're putting in the flex. Travis Etienne, I just don't think has a ceiling this week. The Titans run defense has been a shutdown unit all year long, Joe. Since week 10, 8th in rushing success rate, 3rd in rushing yards per game, and 5th in explosive run rate allowed. All you're hoping is that Travis Etienne gets into the end zone and saves his day. Outside of that, I think it's going to be tough sledding.
I have a terrible feeling that Zonovan Knight and guys like that are going to have more points than him this week. And I can't shake that feeling. It's just, it's where I think right now his health is. It's where I think things are going with him at this moment. And it's frustrating because it's very hard to sit talent. So you have to have a really good, like, it's got to be somebody who's really close there where you can make that call. I see in the ECR right now, you got Najee Harris around that range, Pacheco around that range. I can understand, you know, some of those guys. I can even understand DeAndre Swift or Ezekiel Elliott starting those guys, because there's no way Ezekiel Elliott isn't falling in the end zone this week.
And
I'm the guy that never likes Ezekiel Elliott. And I'm telling you right now, if you've got Elliott or ATN, I'd be playing Elliott and just take the touchdown and run away. That's my feeling about that. And I think you guys probably are on the same page. So give me one more guy that you don't feel good about. And it's funny because this guy that you're going to talk about, Mick Chiellello, we had on yesterday from Fantrax, and he had some really good reasons to start James Conner in terms of volume, in terms of coming off the bye, in terms of what they have to do. I know the matchup is tough against the Pats, but you don't seem to be in on Conner this week. Why?
I mean, look, I know that he's going to be a bell cow. I know that he's going to play about 95% of the snaps. I know he's going to get the red zone work. This all comes down to the matchup, guys. Like, since week 10, New England is 2nd in rushing success rate, 4th in rushing yards per game, and first in explosive run rate. So for a running back in James Conner, it's difficult because ECR is at RB16. I've got him lower as a low-end RB2 at RB22. I might drop him a little bit lower than that. It's not a guy that we're looking at, okay, he's explosive, he's going to rip off big plays. The Patriots have not been allowing that. They have not been allowing touchdowns on the ground to running backs. So if he doesn't get in the end zone, and we know that he's not incredibly efficient, yeah, you're leaning on the volume, but still, he could flop easily.
All right, Andrew, let's talk about it. This is the think tank of Fantasy Pros. He's been a very hot topic the last 2 days. Let's get your take on James Conner in week 14.
I mean, I'm leaning more on the ECR here with the volume conversation. I mean, Connor's outtouched Keonta Ingram in the last 3 games, 68-8. Like, he has 60 more touches than the next closest running back on his team coming off a bye week. He's guaranteed 20-25 touches. And for that to not be a top 20 running back, it's really, really, I mean, he has to be like absolutely atrocious, like 2 yards per carry and no catches for him to not be like at least a top 20 running back. So look, I mean, the Bills ran the ball on the Patriots last time we saw them play. So yeah, the Cardinals aren't going to be great. The Patriots don't give up a lot of explosive runs. James Conner doesn't generate explosive runs anyway. Like, you're not starting him because he's going to get a lot of rushing production. It's really that receiving production that the Patriots are going to be like, whatever, like, let James Conner beat us. Like, we don't really care. Let him have these garbage types of numbers. So for me, I think Conner's in that conversation with a guy like Etienne, with a guy like Damian Pierce, Latavius Murray, where they're all kind of like bell cow running backs that are going to get a lot of volume. But James Conner, for me, is the one that I feel the most confident about the 3-down role as a receiver and rusher, despite the fact that it is a tough matchup. So I'm going to lean more on the volume side of things here, and I have him closer to ECR.
Is it a hot take for me to say that I feel more comfortable with Conner than I do Etienne this week, Andrew?
I think that they're in the same conversation. I think that Etienne's just better.
Oh, they're in the same conversation. Look, beggars can't be choosers this week because week 14, you don't have a lot of choices between the injuries and the bye. We're missing a lot of guys, especially some of these committee kind of guys, these flex kind of plays too. So it's getting real thin out there. But Derek, would you, if you had to start between, let's say you had Conner and Etienne, you had to pick one, who would you pick?
I'm going to take Etienne. I'm just going to take the explosiveness. Like,
what would you do, Andrew?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're both bad matchups, but I know Etienne can rip off like a 70-yard touchdown, which I know James Conner can.
So you guys are taking the explosiveness over the volume. All right, fair enough. All right, let's play a little game of Who Should I Start? Remember, the Who Should I Start tool is free at fantasypros.com/start. You could play along with us and go plug in the names. If you need some extra help trying to make some decisions, you can't get a hold of us, or you hate Twitter or whatever that is, that's fine. Just go use the tools at fantasypros.com. Again, free, fantasypros.com/start. Cam Akers or Raheem Mostert? So I'm going to put you to the test here, D-Bro. You talked about Raheem Mostert again. These are done separately, so it's always amazing. We're always on the same page. Synergy. The synergy in this show is where it's at. So Mostert against the Chargers or Cam Akers against the Las Vegas Raiders. D-Bro, who you want to start?
I'm going to go Raheem Mostert. I'll take the 10 to 15 touches in a smash matchup for Raheem Mostert, and maybe he is the lead back. Cam Akers, I just feel like with Sean McVay, yes, he could be the lead back again. Would it surprise anybody if Kyren Williams got more run and we're all just like, no,
it's not going to surprise me if Baker Mayfield's under center as I get to, as the week goes on. Things are getting weirder and weirder in Los Angeles. Erickson, Cam Akers or Raheem Mostert for you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Raheem Mostert here as well. I mean, Cam Akers, the thing with him is last week, the Rams were winning that game. Like they almost won the game against the Seahawks. So that's why Akers was playing so much. But if they fall behind, if Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs are having their way against a very depleted Rams defense that really has nothing else to play for, they don't even have their own draft pick anymore. So they really have nothing to play for, not even to lose. I could see Cam Akers getting game scripted out. You know, and that's what happened the 2 weeks prior before we saw his snaps uptick. So Raheem Mostert's going to be involved no matter what. And obviously the matchup against the Chargers is one of the easiest for running backs. So I will also lean on Mostert here.
All right, 3-for-3, but ECR still has Akers 56% to 44. Samaje Perine or James Cook. Again, here we go. Look at this. Unbelievable. Another guy in the pipeline we just talked about. So Erickson, I'll start with you with this one. I know Joe Mixon's supposed to be back. It's trending hopefully in that direction. We don't have clarity quite yet, but at the same time, Samaje Perine's been good. I mean, deep stats on him have been better than Joe Mixon this year. He's got more touchdowns too. I mean, he's been a touchdown machine these last few weeks, Perine. Do you think that Perine, even with Mixon coming back, is enough of an investment in this game against Cleveland, or do you like Cook against the Jets? What do you say, Andrew?
No, if Joe Mixon is back, I expect him to be the clear RB1 in the offense. And maybe we'll see Perine
just goes back into the case.
We'll see him work on in receiving downs like he had done when Joe Mixon was still, you know, the starter in the offense. But the touchdown equity is going to be Joe Mixon. So that's really with Perine. Obviously, he's been effective as a rusher and receiver, but I would go on James Cook, who would be the ascending player in the situation where Perine would obviously be taking a step back with Joe Mixon back in the fold.
D-Bro, same thing for you. Cook over Perine?
Same. I mean, if Mixon's back, Perine goes back into the backup role. I mean, how many weeks have I been screaming, Joe, that Perine's been better than Mixon all year from an efficiency standpoint? The Cincinnati Bengals do not care. So if Mixon is back, he's going to go back into his bell cow role. So I'll take James Cook here.
Again, you're in the minority. 44% are Cook. Samaje Perine, 56. Again, this could probably flip as the week goes on. We get a little bit more stability and clarity on what's going on. Let's switch gears to the wide receivers. Before we do, just a quick reminder for those of you who maybe had some bad fantasy investments early in the year, some leagues have not gone your way, you want to make up some extra cash, head over to bettingpros.com/podcast. We got all the BP shows over there. Myself, Friedman, Fitz, Bogman's over there, Thor Nystrom doing college football over there. You want to make some of your money back? Listen to us on Monday night. Bogman and I crushed. I think we hit 4 of the 5 props that he gave. I hit 2 of my 2 that were out there. My both locks were in there too. We're making money. We're having fun. Go check it out. Again, bettingpros.com/podcast, wherever you get your pods. Go subscribe to Betting Pros and the YouTube channel too. Don't forget about the YouTube because that's where you get the live streams. In fact, today, Thursday Night Football, me and Fitz are going to be talking Thursday Night Football. So check that out. Let's check out the wide receivers. Erickson, who do you want to start in week 14?
Wide receiver for the Denver Broncos, Jerry Jeudy. I have him wide receiver 23. He's wide receiver 29 in the ECR. There's going to be no Cortland Sutton in this game, so I expect Jerry Jeudy to lead the Denver Broncos in targets. You look at what he did last week, just on a limited 38% route participation, perfect 4-for-4 for 65 yards. He was targeted on 40% of his routes run last week. So Russell Wilson obviously has an eye for Jerry Jeudy, and it's a matchup that he can take advantage of against the Chiefs, rank 4th. And the NFL in fantasy points allowed to slot wide receivers, 5th in fantasy points allowed wide receivers overall this season and since week 10. So I think Jerry Jeudy is in a great spot here in a game where, hey, the Broncos are probably going to have to throw up their chasing points against the high-powered Chiefs offense. So I think he's in a good spot. And then my second guy is DJ Chark. I really don't understand why ECR is so low on him. Wide receiver 42 in the ECR. I have him at wide receiver 31. I mean, last week he almost had 100 receiving yards, 5 for 98 on 6 targets. He ran all the routes, 95% route participation, led the Lions with 47% air yard share. Like, this guy's still on waivers in a ton of leagues, and they're playing crazy. The Minnesota Vikings, allowing the most fantasy points since week 6 to wide receivers. It's a dome. It's a game with a massive total that Welsh on one of the earlier podcasts with myself and Ryan was talking about all the Lions and Vikings overs across the board. So yeah, I want DJ Chark in my lineup, and make sure he's not on your waivers because I saw him still getting picked up across the board. People in the Discord, should I pick up DJ Chark? And I'm like, yes, you should pick him up and you should immediately put him in your starting lineup.
Yeah, 100%. More on DJ Chark later, by the way, too, because I'm going to have some discussions about him. But I'm just kind of checking right now to see what his roster percentage is. You guys want to take a guess of what you think that is on Sleeper right now? That roster percentage? Not what it should be, what it is. Erickson, go ahead.
I mean, is it like 50? It's got to be 50%. What was that? At least, I'll say 50. I'll just go 50. 50%.
What do you say? Big giant hat. What do you say?
So I'm cheating here. So I wrote him up for waivers this week. I know he was in the 20s. It was 21 or 26%. I think that people are still sleeping on him. I'll put him at 32%.
Not quite that bad. 44%, but not quite as good as Erickson. So 44%.
Still lower than 50%.
Still should be higher. It
on
should
sleeper,
be 65, way higher.
66% of leagues still available.
It's crazy.
All right, give me one more name here. Judy, Chark, give me another one, Erickson.
Yeah, so this is a deeper player here. So I like Isaiah McKenzie this week. So I have him at wide receiver 34. He's wide receiver 41 in the ECR. And I'm just really looking at the matchup here for the Buffalo Bills against the New York Jets. We know the Jets. What's their strongest part of their secondary is their perimeter corners with Sauce Gardner and DJ Reed. Not so strong in the slot because you have to throw the ball to somebody, and that's kind of where they've been targeting a lot of these quarterbacks and passing games. I've been targeting the middle of the field. Michael Carter has been the slot cornerback for the Jets. He ranks top five in targets and catches allowed this season. He also left last week with an injury, so they could be potentially putting in a backup safety, Eccles, and he's not good. So I like Isaiah McKenzie, who has over the last three in three of his last four games, we've seen Isaiah McKenzie have a full-time role, and he has more receiving yards, catches, and fantasy points than Gabriel Davis in the games that he has played a full-time role. So I think he has the better matchup than Gabe Davis, and I would start him over Gabe Davis this week.
Do you feel the same way, D-Bro, that McKenzie's a better start than Davis? And what does this also mean if you like James Cook? Like, how many things can we like in this game against the Jets?
I mean, I'm with Andrew here. I have McKenzie as wide receiver 36 in my ranks. I think that the big thing with McKenzie is we've seen his playing time be a roller coaster the entire season, except for these last 2 weeks. He's been a full-time player in the offense. Josh Allen's not chucking the ball deep. And I'm with Erickson in that, like, are you really going to test, like, with a banged up Josh Allen, a not as effective Josh. Now, I'm not saying he's been bad, but has he been the
no, but he's
Superman?
Look, I think anybody watching Josh Allen knows it's not quite the same. Yeah. It's funny because what we've seen now is like, all right, well, let's get all these really explosive, fun, speedy players, the football we have on our team. What a concept these last 2 weeks.
Crazy. I know. Exactly. And so with McKenzie also, could we see some more creativity? Could he get a jet sweep? Can he get some rushing attempts, especially near the goal line where we know Buffalo loves to get creative inside the 20? I love the call. I mean, McKenzie, I think if you're just looking at matchups, yes, it makes all the sense in the world that Buffalo says, we're not going to sit here and force the ball to Gabe Davis because the Jets are really good on the outside and they're good against the deep ball. Let's just beat him underneath with James Cook and Isaiah McKenzie.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Trophy Smack. This episode today is brought to you by TrophySmack.com, and TrophySmack.com is the only place to get epic trophies, championship belts, and rings for your fantasy football leagues. Trophy Smack championship belts and rings crush the competition, and their new custom design tool makes it incredibly simple to create a belt or ring of your choice with any league image or text that you want in less than a minute. And for listeners of this very podcast, Trophy Smack has a special offer for you. Add a trophy or belt and a championship ring to your cart and use the promo code FANTASYPROS. That's one word, FANTASYPROS, to get the ring for free. That's a $59 value for using the promo code FANTASYPROS because you're one of our listeners. Again, that's TrophySmack.com, TrophySmack.com for all of your fantasy trophies, belts, rings, and loser awards too. Don't forget the losers. And more. Check it out over at TrophySmack.com and use that promo code FANTASYPROS for a free ring with purchase over at TrophySmack on your trophy or belt. And now back to the action. All right. Let's go to the guys you want to sit in week 14, which again, this is a luxury if you have choices this week. But let's start with another guy in Buffalo. So go ahead, make the perfect transition here.
Yes, the perfect transition set up by yours truly, Gabe Davis. I have him at wide receiver 36. He's ECR wide receiver 26. And it's for all the reasons, you know, we talked about last week about fading Adam Thielen. It was not high on Thielen against the same Jets secondary as the number two receiver. Look, this is not a matchup where, unless you were a straight up alpha, you're not going to be able to beat these Jets cornerbacks, just simply put. And Gabe Davis is not that guy. I'm sorry. Like, he can make big plays, but he's not an alpha at all. So the Jets have allowed the fewest fantasy points per game to opposing wide receivers since week six. They rank fourth in DVOA versus number two wide receivers, allowing the fifth fewest receiving yards at 39 yards per game to opposing number twos. And we just talked about how we like Isaiah McKenzie. McKenzie is eating into Davis's target share. Davis has under a 20% target share in three of those last four games where McKenzie has played a full-time role. We've already seen this matchup play out. Davis caught two passes for 33 yards on five targets. And to be frank, just watching Davis live last week at the Patriots game, I mean, he's just not a special player. Like, yes, he makes a lot of big plays down the field when he's attached to Josh Allen, but he's dropping red zone targets. He's losing the ball in the lights. So overall, with Gabe Davis, just takeaways from the season, like, I think that he's generally been kind of disappointing. I expected more from him this year, and it would not surprise me at all if they do try to add someone next year to kind of replace him, because I think that he is just kind of an average player that can make big plays down the field, but ultimately he's not a game changer. So I'm trying to sit Gabe Davis this week.
All right, who else do you want to sit in week two if you can?
Yep, I'm going to sit the guy you guys wanted to start last week, Juju Smith-Schuster.
I did.
I did.
Yep. Christian Watson scored again, by the way.
This is a pro Watson show, just to say that.
I started Christian Watson.
Yeah, but you guys said to start Juju over Christian Watson.
Well, because I thought there'd be more volume last week. I really did.
Fair.
I just thought he would. Look, against Cincinnati, everything was right there. And we're back to square one. I was trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, and I was wrong.
It comes down to the Bengals are the Chiefs' kryptonite. We have to give a little bit of that.
I know, but I know they're Patrick Mahomes' kryptonite, but I guess that's the problem. It's like we're tying it all in together. So,
but yes, we're fading Juju again this week because last week he disappointed.
Okay, Dad.
3 for 35, 4 targets. He led the team in routes run. It didn't really matter. And I just think now the matchup is even worse against the Denver Broncos. We know about how great their secondary has been. Third fewest fantasy points allowed to perimeter wide receivers. Second and fewest fantasy points allowed to overall wide receivers. And last week, we saw Smith-Schuster actually run the highest percentage of routes from out wide. So he wasn't playing as much in the slot, just based on kind of who the Chiefs had available at their wide receivers. So I think that means we could see more of him getting covered by Patrick Surtain, which is obviously not ideal for any wide receiver. And looking at the way the Broncos give up points and yards to wide receivers, they're allowing the league's fewest yards after the catch. And really, Smith-Schuster, during those weeks when he had spikes in production, it was because he was creating yards after the catch. He ranks fifth in the NFL in yards after catch per reception this season. So against a defense that doesn't give up anything after the catch, I think Juju, you're just fingers crossed he falls in the end zone, and it's just not a good bet to make.
All right. Well, after the public shaming Erickson just gave me, now I know how my kids feel when I tell them don't do something and then they do it. And I say, didn't I tell you not to do that? And they say, yes. So, all right. Derek Brown, any further thoughts on Juju Smith-Schuster you'd like to share?
I feel like Erickson just hit me with the, I'm not mad at you, I'm just disappointed.
I'm just disappointed.
I might need to turn this hat over and just start crying and fill it up with tears. But
well, look, if you can fill that hat with tears, that's something.
I'd be dehydrated.
Those are Cortland Sutton sized tears. And maybe Erickson needs a hat just to cry all his Cortland Sutton tears away.
Wow.
Maybe
that's why Jerry Jeudy is going to do so much better this week, because it's just going to rub more salt into my
Cortland
Sutton
realized
wounds.
I didn't realize you knew who Jerry Jeudy was. All right, Debro, any other Juju thoughts you want to share?
No, I'm with Erickson. I mean, I'm fading Juju probably versus ECR. I've got him probably as a low-end RB, low-end wide receiver 2, high-end wide receiver 3. There's a bunch of guys I'd like to start over him. I mean, you could throw out Josh Palmer, maybe even Debo. I would start Jerry Jeudy over him.
All right, let's test your Jerry Jeudy love, everybody. Jerry Jeudy or Adam Thielen this week? They're very close in the ECR, but Erickson, are they close for you?
Let's ride, Jerry Jeudy.
The prolific Denver Broncos offense. All right, your call here, D-Bro. You want to play Thielen against Detroit, where everybody wants to get in that Detroit game, or do you want to play Jerry Jeudy against KC?
I'm going to go Jeudy, and this comes down to not so much my Jeudy love, but, and I wrote this up in the primer, Detroit went extremely man coverage heavy the last time these two teams played. Adam Thielen is not winning versus man coverage this year. I know that he had 61 yards and a touchdown the last time they played. If you look at the rest of his season altogether, he has not been performing well versus man coverage. I think it's going to be a big Justin Jefferson game, and that leads me away from Adam Thielen.
All right, 52% agree, Jerry Jeudy, and I'm 3 for 3. So all of us, everybody agrees. Let's go to the next one here. Darius Slayton against the Eagles, tough potential matchup there, or Michael Gallup against the Houston Texans. D-Bro, why don't you kick things off here with this one? What do you thought? Gallup showing some signs of life last week, but what do you think? Does it carry over against Houston, or are you worried about Slayton at all against the Eagles?
So dramatic foreshadowing. We're going to talk about Slayton later. I'm easily taking Slayton here.
Okay, easily. Wow. Okay, easily. More to come on that. Erickson, mm-hmm. Is it so easy for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just don't trust Michael Gallup in an offense that doesn't need to throw the ball in this matchup. So Slayton gets volume, and volume just, you know, it's a tougher matchup against these corners, but he's going to get the ball thrown to him, and he's got a chance to make plays, whereas Michael Gallup could get 4 targets, and if he doesn't catch a touchdown, you're probably going to be left disappointed. So I'll go Slayton too.
Despite being so close in ECR this week, 88% of experts agree with you. Slayton over Gallup. Don't forget, everybody, too, we also got the touchdown call contest going on still every single week. We're giving away $25 to our shop over at Fantasy Pros. Get yourself a hat, get yourself a t-shirt, get yourself something cool. Be a winner for a week. Make you feel good in case your fantasy teams have, you know, hit a bad patch, maybe potentially. FantasyPros.com/Discord. Premium members only, though, to play with the cool kids on the touchdown call channel. Check it out. Let's do quarterback here. Let's play a little game of who should I start. Deshaun Watson in his second game back. And let's be frank here. Let's keep it real. Things did not look great with Deshaun Watson. Things did not look good with Deshaun Watson. We'll see if it gets any better this week against Cincinnati Bengals or Daniel Jones. Tough matchup against the Philadelphia Eagles. What do you think here about this situation here? Well, again, missing a lot of people here, a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of injuries. Your thoughts on this one, Andrew Erickson, Watson or Daniel Jones?
I'm going with Daniel Jones. He's been more consistent. You get the rushing with him. He's 4th in rushing attempts and 5th in rushing yards among quarterbacks, 3rd in scrambles and scramble yards. So he's giving you a floor even in tougher matchups. He's overcome tougher matchups all year long. So I think Daniel Jones has just proven way more that he can be trusted versus Deshaun Watson, who was dead last in dropback EPA last week. I don't understand why he was a top 15 quarterback in ECR last week. I don't understand why he's a top 15 ECR quarterback this week. I don't get it. So well, I'm going
it
down
sounds
Jones.
A lot like my Kareem Hunt rant of last week too, where I just didn't understand why all of a sudden Kareem Hunt was automatically relevant again. Remember that?
He did have double digit touches for the first time in like a long time.
And how'd that go?
It didn't help
not
much.
Not good.
Great. Deshaun Watson did rush 7 times for 21 whopping yards. 6 points, by the way, for Deshaun Watson. I agree. Like, I don't get where we're going here. He is number 14 in the ECR right now. Daniel Jones is 15 on Fantasy Pros. D-Bro, aren't you starting Daniel Jones over Watson as well?
Yes. I've got Daniel Jones at QB 14. I got Watson at QB 16. I don't understand this. Like, we can only fade Daniel Jones so much based off of the matchup. I mean, he has gone through tough matchups the entire season. The rushing floor gives him...
He's QB 11 on the season.
It's crazy. And here's the thing. If we're talking about we want to start Darius Slayton, doesn't that help Daniel Jones? Like, we have to put 2 and 2 together here. So, yes, I think this is an easy call. It's Daniel Jones.
I got to tell you, I think I feel more confident starting Tyler Huntley in fantasy than I do Deshaun Watson.
I have Tyler Huntley right ahead of Deshaun Watson.
Full of hot takes today, but I don't think they're that hot.
I don't think it's that hot.
Yeah. All right, tepid. Let's get to the next one here. Let's talk about the low-end QBs. And boy, Superflex, a hot garbage mess at the bottom of QB this week. Oh, goodness. Let's go. Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold. D-Bro, Darnold gets the Seattle Seahawks. Brock Purdy gets the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Who do you want to start in Superflex this week?
Woof.
That's right.
I'm going to go Brock Purdy just based off the weapons around him. I mean, Sam Darnold threw the ball 19 times last week. I get that it's a good matchup. It's still Sam freaking Darnold. New.
He did. He only threw the ball. No. Like, again, it was against Denver, though, too. So it was his first game back. I'm actually cutting Darnold a little bit of slack here, which
you're
I can't
being
believe
very kind to Sam Darnold.
I'm giving him, look, he hadn't played all year. You come by here, go play against Denver. Denver's secondary is pretty good. I don't think I want him throwing the ball that much. Let's keep it around 20 and let's try to get out of here in one piece. Brock Purdy or Sam Darnold for you, Andrew Erickson, this week?
I'm going with Brock Purdy because I think he's just going to have like a million dump offs to Debo and Christian McCaffrey, and he's just going to rack up fantasy points because the Buccaneers are a pass funnel defense. Again, they're really strong against the run, but... Mm-hmm. Their 49ers are going to find ways to get the ball to McCaffrey, and that's going to be through the passing game. And that means Brock Purdy's going to get credit for all those dump off completions that are really more like rushing attempts. So yeah, I'm going to go with Purdy, especially because the Carolina Panthers are so have been so run heavy over the last couple of weeks since they traded away CMC. I think it's really more of a big Deontay Foreman week than a Sam Darnold week.
I'm playing Darnold. I don't care if 28% of experts only agree with me. 72% all say Brock Purdy too. I'm not there yet. Can't do it. Won't do it yet. Give me Sam Darnold. More on the Panthers to come when we get to the show. Let's talk about tight end streamers this week. Andrew Erickson, why don't you give us your tight end streamer for week 14? And I love your choice. I defended this person's honor in several questions last night on Stages After Dark with Bogman, where Bogman wanted to go with other guys, and I want this guy, so why do you want a Hunter Henry as well?
Yes, we're going back to Hunter Henry here. I have him as tight end 8. He's tight end 13 in the ECR, and really, it's about this Arizona defense that sucks against tight ends.
They've
allowed the most fantasy points per game to tight ends this season, 2.5 more points than the next closest team, which is the Seattle Seahawks. And I want to point out the reason why Hunter Henry has been so up and down this year is because of touchdowns. Like, a lot of tight ends are really touchdown dependent, and that's really, he comes and goes as Mac Jones comes and goes. Mac Jones doesn't throw any touchdowns, then Hunter Henry's going to bust. But his usage is still good. 79% route participation, 5 targets last week. But he has more touchdown upside in this particular matchup because Arizona ranks dead last in red zone defense among all teams. And the last time that the Patriots played a team that was bad in the red zone, because their red zone offense is tied for the Broncos as the league's worst red zone offense, was the Minnesota Vikings. And Hunter Henry had a monster game against the Vikings. He should have had 2 touchdowns in that game. So I think
Hunter Henry... Let's not bring up unsettling things.
Oh, that was such a bad call.
Ruined my whole dessert.
It was a catch,
people. Of course it was a catch. It was not... I can't.
Same.
His
hands under the ball.
It has nothing to do with me being a Patriot. It has nothing to do with that. You catch the ball. As soon as you break the plane, the play is over. That's it. I don't understand where... And what infuriated... Here we go. It's going to happen now. What infuriated me the most about that was we got to a point where the announcers turned to the guy who's supposed to be the ex-referee, expert guy, and he's like, oh, no,
the
clearly
experts.
It's not. Like, what do you mean clearly it's not? What universe are you watching football? You're like an ex-referee head guy that's going to... What?
It was ridiculous. I mean, legit, the ball was in his hands like this. It turns a little bit, and it's still in his hands. And they're like, nah, it's not a catch. Not a catch.
Well,
I'm
he's
like,
going to make up for it this week.
That 2 touchdowns for Hunter Henry. When you take that hat. God, it's so good. I almost forgot you were wearing it at one point. And you got to take a video of a reaction when you walk outside with the hat and send it to me and Blaine, because Blaine went halvesies with me on the hat. I want to see the live reaction from your wife being like, what are you? You're an idiot. Why?
Oh,
did I
I'm
you?
Going to.
And you can say, it's not my fault. Joe bought it for me.
Oh, she'll love
idea.
It. She'll love it. But as soon as I unearth this thing to the family, my kids are going to take it and run away with it. I'm never going to see
it
again, Joe.
This is the first and last time you're going to see the hat. All right, give me a tight end streamer for week 14, Debra.
Well, first of all, Andrew was sly, got to the outline before me because Hunter Henry was going to be my dude. I love the call there.
You can say Hunter Henry. There's
no
rules here. I think we've established that.
No. I have another tight end that has a beautiful matchup.
Okay.
If we're talking about the Arizona Cardinals or the 1A matchup for tight ends, this is the 1B matchup. Gerald Everett is going to have himself a day. The Miami Dolphins secondary has played much, much better versus wide receivers. If you look at Xavier Howard's numbers over the last 5 to 6 games, he has been a stud. Again, as he was dealing with injuries in the early part of the year, where Miami struggles is versus tight ends. They're 29th in DVOA, allowing the 8th most receiving yards per game, 4th most receiving touchdowns. I think it's going to be a fantastic day for Gerald Everett. He's probably going to climb into my top 5 tight ends.
Okay, let's play a little who should I start, Hunter Henry or Tyler Conklin against Buffalo, Henry versus Arizona, right? Henry? Yeah, just say it.
Yes.
Okay.
Emphatically,
we're all, I just want to prove a point. This is not like a question so much as proving a point that somehow it's only 56% Hunter Henry to 44% Tyler Conklin. And I don't even think this is in the same universe. This should be 80-20.
Yes.
Like, or 100%.
I would rather start a Conquo than Tyler Conklin. Straight up.
Can you say that 3 times fast?
I'd rather start a Conquo than Tyler Conklin. I'd rather start a Conquo than Tyler Conklin. I'd rather start a Conquo than Tyler Conklin.
That's pretty good. That's where you're
can't say his
pro.
First name. Still working on that, though.
Well, that's okay.
Chig.
We've all have our Chig. Issues. All right, let's get to the sleeper starts and sits of the week.
Starts and sits of the week.
Don't forget, the Sleeper app is the best place to play your fantasy football. I know it's my favorite place by far to play all of my leagues. So go check out Sleeper if you haven't. Plus, they've got some fun games, the over-under game, a lot of other stuff there. Not just the fantasy side of things, too. They got a lot of other fun games. My starts of the week, despite my colleagues here taking shots at my man, Sam Darnold, and his giant Lego head, I'm going right back to DJ Moore. Let's go. I got to start DJ Moore. He had a touchdown last week, and I think it's safe to go out and DJ Moore again. I remember last year, DJ Moore was pretty good with Sam Darnold. And this is Seattle, not Denver. We're coming off a bye. More time to work together. More time to go out there, have some fun, sling the football around. Sam Darnold will make DJ Moore fantasy relevant again this week. So start him. Derek Brown, who are you starting? Who's a must start in week 14?
I didn't think in the year 2022 that Joe would be talking about his man, Sam Darnold. I did not.
Lego head.
Project that for this show. But talking about, we mentioned him earlier, Darius Slayton. And we have gotten on here and we've talked about fading wide receivers. He makes my start of the week because the deeper I got into the matchup, you look at where the Eagles have struggled, the wide receivers that have played well against the secondary. And yes, certain wide receivers have. There is one continuing theme. It is speed and speed for days. Darius Slayton runs a freaking 4.3. He has been awesome over the last six games. 22nd in PFF receiving grade, 13th in yards per route run. The guys that have similar speed versus the Eagles, DJ Chark, had 52 yards and a receiving touchdown. Terry McLaurin went for 102 receiving yards. Hollywood Brown had 78 receiving yards and a touchdown. Christian Watson burnt them for over 100 yards and a touchdown. Darius Slayton is going to have a good game this week.
Okay, so Darius Slayton in, DJ Moore in. Who's your must start of the week this week, Andrew Erickson, week 14?
Deontay Foreman. I don't really know what else we need to see from Seattle's defense, giving the second most fantasy points to running backs. Deontay Foreman's still like outside the top 20 running backs in ECR, which I don't understand. He's gone over 100 rushing yards in four of his last six games. If the Carolina Panthers are in a game like that is competitive, they're not getting blown out, then Deontay Foreman is putting up over 100 rushing yards. So I think that he's set to smash here against a horrible run defense that is continually getting run over in the Panthers. Minus 12% pass rate over expectation, 30th in early down pass rate under neutral game script conditions over the last 6 weeks. So they want to run the ball. They're going to be able to run the ball, and Foreman's going to eat.
Okay, let's talk about the guys we want to sit this week. I want to sit Gus Edwards. Look, man, I don't like where this is going. Baltimore's offense is just, it's terrible. Lamar's out. I know Huntley's had some moments last year. It was fun, but I just can't get there right now. So I know you don't have a lot of options, but Gus Edwards is one option. I am really just bottom of the barrel for me this week. And I don't know what's going on with the Ravens, with who their surgeon was or what's going on here when these guys tore their ACLs. But Dobbins' return has not been great. Gus Edwards' return has not been great. I don't know if it gives us a little pause going into next year with guys like Breece Hall, where to really sit back and think, okay, maybe the ACL thing isn't automatic like we think it is. We have to be very careful what kind of, and I know we're all going to forget this conversation, so I'm saying it now, so it's on YouTube, so we remember it. In August, we're all going to get real excited again. Let's just pump the brakes a little bit with the guys coming back from the ACL tear. So Gus Edwards, for me, no bueno. Erickson, who's your must-sit for this week?
Deontay Johnson. I don't really know how many times you need to keep playing him to realize he literally gives you zero upside every single week. His best finish with Kenny Pickett this year is wide receiver 37. He has not had more than 60 receiving yards in any game with Kenny Pickett, despite the fact that he sees double-digit targets every single week. He's going up against Marlon Humphrey this week. Marlon Humphrey has allowed the sixth fewest fantasy points per coverage snap this season. Baltimore is third in DVOA versus number one wide receivers, so I don't think this is a Deontay Johnson, top 40 week. I think he'll probably be like outside the top 60 this week. It's not a good spot for him.
He's a 10 point. That's it. He's 10 points. That's it. In PPR, he's 10 points. And half, he's 8. That's it. That's who he is. Debro, who you got for the sits of the week? It's a big name.
Yeah, I'm going to bring up Debo Samuel. And I know we talked about liking Brock Purdy and stuff like that. They still have Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk.
But yes, okay.
Well.
Purdy. And this
Sam Darnold. I like Purdy things. Sorry.
Oh, God.
Oh, dad jokes. Dad jokes are real today.
Now I know what to get, Erickson. I just realized what to get. Get a video on.
I can't wait. So the spiel on Debo is, his role this year has not been awesome. 4.5 ADOT. It has been all Yak dependent. They've gone back to using him in this dump off role. And I get, like, yes, we just talked about Purdy, but you're looking at a Tampa Bay secondary that's allowed the eighth fewest Yak in the NFL. They're 15th in missed tackles. So they're not terrible at tackling. Deebo Samuel has had one game above wide receiver 30 since week 7. So while, yes, it's a big name, at this point of the season, we also have to marry the name with production and look at matchups and not get so sewn into, but it's Deebo. It's Deebo. I can't sit Deebo. Yes, you can. I would be starting Jerry Judy over Deebo.
It's harder to do
Deebo
it this week, but if you somehow got lucky with your options, I'm not a big fan too. He's questionable. I'm with you. I don't think it's absurd at all to at least expect very little potentially out of him in this week. All right, let's get to the flex appeal guys.
Flex appeal.
It's DJ Chark for me. It's easy. Erickson already set it up. I don't need to add any more. He's still 65% available.
Crazy.
In sleeper leagues. Please go get DJ, put him on the roster. Look, and look, yes. The question is, could he have a quiet game? Of course. Could be Amon-Ra and Swift having big games? Of course. But you got to take the shot. You got to have him on your roster, at least for this week.
Would you consider, so if Chark's gone, Jameson Williams. So we saw he really didn't play that much last week, but this is kind of the standard with the Lions getting guys back healthy. He should play more this week. Would he be someone in deeper formats that, again, he has the same matchup against the Vikings? It's great.
No, and I'll tell you why. It's in division. I think this is too big of a game for the Detroit Lions front office and organization where beating the Vikings is important. I think this is a statement where you're trying to turn this organization around. You want to get everybody you can in the best spot to win this football game. And Jameson's still getting healthy and still getting right. Maybe next week we can have that conversation, but not this week. That's how I feel about it. It's a confluence. This is where the football stuff has to start entering in. And look, it's not that I don't want it to happen. I do. And it might. But I'm just saying it would surprise me a great deal. That's my reaction to that. Erickson, who is your flex appeal guy of the week?
I'm going with the squeaky wheel and actually screaming on the sidelines wheel. George Pickens. Mm-hmm. We talked about Deontay Johnson. I think he's going to draw the Marlon Humphrey coverage, which means the targets should open up for George Pickens on the other side of the field. Baltimore ranks second in targets allowed to number two wide receivers, first in receiving yards per game to number two wide receivers. And George Pickens, I know we talked about how bad Deontay Johnson has been. George Pickens has 5 top 24 games with Kenny Pickett. Now, his floor, obviously, is much lower than Deontay Johnson's. We've seen that. But this is a spot where you have the narrative. I think they're going to force him the ball this week. And I think that he's going to show out and be like, no, this is why I need to get more targets in this offense. This is why you should stop throwing the ball to Deontay Johnson 11 times per game, because I can actually get yards downfield. So I'm going to go right back to George Pickens. I know that it's hard to click the button on him again because of how bad he's been really the last couple of weeks.
Not for me. I'm 100% back in.
Let's go.
He also caught the 2-point conversion, which nobody cares about, but it's a red zone target. I care. I watched it. I saw it happen. Let's go. D-Bro, who's the flex appeal for you this week?
I like the Pickens call. Anytime that I can watch Marcus Peters get punked on an NFL field, I'm in for it. And he has been quietly terrible over the last few weeks. The guy, and I'm going to go deep down the well here, and I got some hate on this one on social media, but I think it's Elijah Moore week, and we're talking about the matchups. So Elijah Moore saw his route run rate climb. It was almost identical to Corey Davis. So he is a full-time player in the Jets offense now. You look at the outside corner matchups for the Buffalo Bills. They have gotten a lot better. Tre'Davious White is back. He is almost playing a full-time role. Xavier Rhodes has played well when he's been active. And those are the two outside starting guys right now. The best matchup on the board for the Jets is in the slot versus Taron Johnson, who has been struggling this year. Elijah Moore is going to run 71% of his routes against Taron Johnson. Taron Johnson is giving up a 73% catch rate, 111 passer rating. The Bills are near the top in slot fantasy points per game allowed over the last few weeks. Yeah, I think it is Elijah Moore week.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
All right, let's hit the listener mailbag on the way out here. This is from Fancy Pantsy over on Discord. That was also my nickname in college, I'm pretty sure. Akers or Gus Edwards this week? It's Akers for me. Erickson, what do you say?
Akers for me as well.
Big giant hat, you agree?
Akers, the hat agrees.
I want to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Manscaped. Head over to manscaped.com. Use that promo code JOEYP to get 20% off and free shipping for your jingle balls. We'll thank you. And trophysmack.com. That's TROPHYsmack.com for all your trophies, belts, rings, and loser awards too. And use that promo code FANTASYPROS for a free ring with purchase of a trophy or a belt. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andrew Erickson and the man in the big hat, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fire the grill and fire up the party. Get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full grate sear zone so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look as good as it tastes. This grill is hot in 15 minutes and cleanup is easy. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.